Bruchim Aboyim to the first of a series of shiurim of lectures, which we're going to title the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. And the purpose of these lectures is to really explore the profound philosophical ideas of the Kabbalah, which in particular were brought about by the interpreters of the Arizal, after the time of the Arizal, beginning in the 18th century. What we're going to begin with is we're going to actually look at several thinkers whose philosophies and ontologies are actually based upon the Ari, but we're going to see exactly how they understood the Ari, and by virtue of that we'll be able to get some type of a very deeply insight as to really what were the profound ideas that the Ari imparted, how they were interpreted in later generations, which in fact serves as a basis for very much of Jewish philosophy and thinking over the last several centuries. The first thinker that we're going to look at is none other than the first of the Babcha Rebbe's, Rav Shmuel Zalman from Le'adi, who is usually referred to as the Bala Tanya. The Tanya is probably the most famous Sefer of Machshav, or philosophy, which he wrote. We know that the Bala Tanya also wrote a Shulchan Aruch, which is which is widely quoted and used, even the Mishnah Berurah quoted very often. But the Bala Tanya also was the author of many Svarim, which explicate a very profound philosophy, which is very, very much based upon the Kabbalah. And the most, I would say probably the most accessible, is actually the Sefer Tanya. And I'm going to take the second section of the Tanya, which is called the Shah HaYichud V'Amuna. For those of you who have a Tanya, I'm only aware of really one edition of the Tanya, which is that which is printed by Chabad. It's the second section. I think it begins on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, on page 152. And it's Perek Aleph of the Shah HaYichud V'Amuna. And there, the Baal HaTanya, in this section, declares that his purpose is to explain the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, and Baruch Shem Kavoy Malchusoy. Now, of course, you can't get anything more basic, more fundamental in Judaism than Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kavoy. So actually, the Shah HaYichud V'Amuna of the Baal HaTanya, I would say, probably represents the most concentrated elaboration of his general philosophy and ontology. And by looking at parts of this be'il in depth, we'll be able to really understand how he understood the depth of the depths of the philosophy of the Kabbalah, as in fact first revealed to us by the Arizal. Now, a little bit of a history. We all know that the Hasidic movement, the first Hasidic thinker, was called Hasidic in any sense of the word, is the best, Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, who lived in the first part of the 18th century. He had several important Talmidim. The Talmud, which is probably the most famous, I shouldn't say most famous, but who's most directly connected with the Baal HaTanya, is the Dov Be'er, who's the Mezerich HaMakid, the Makid Mezerich. And then the third in line is Rav Shmuel Zalman of Le'adi, who was a Talmud, who was a student of the Mezerich HaMakid. Now, the foundation of Hasidic philosophy, there are of course many Shitas, many philosophies in Hasidus, many variations of Hasidus, but the works of the Baal HaTanya, especially the Tanya, is probably one of the earliest comprehensive expressions of and elaborations of a Hasidic philosophy. Now, he begins in Perek Aleph with the Pasuk in Devarim, V'yodata hayoyim v'ashevoysa v'avecha. You shall know today and take it to your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem is the Elokim. B'ashamayim mima'al, mimal, from the heavens above. V'la'oz b'tachas enoid, and the earth below, enoid. There's no other God. V'tzorch la'avin. Says the Balatanya. V'tzorch la'avin. V'chizaleh al dascha sheyesh Elokim. Nishra b'mayim mitachas la'oroch. V'tzorch la'azek kolkach v'ashevoysa v'avecha. Why is it important for us to think that is there some other God that who's perhaps deep underwater that we have to be, the pasuk has the waters that we're supposed to take this to heart and understand it. So immediately the Balatanya here brings the best. And we know that when the Balatanya brings the best, that means he's appealing to the foremost authority. V'nei siv, it says a pasuk in Tehillim, Li'olam Hashem. Right? Devalcha. Right? Forever God, Devalcha, your word, Nitzav Bashamayim, stands in the heavens. Upirash Habeshzal, the best explains this pasuk, is meaning, Ki Devalcha Shamalta, your words, which you said during the 6 days of creation, actually on the second day of creation, Yirakir Basay Hamayim, that's the second day of creation of the Bria when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens. Tevois v'yosiyes elu. These words and letters. In other words, Yehi akia b'sei chamayim. These words and these letters. Hein nitzavois. They are upright. V'omdois. And continues to stand upright. Le'olam forever. B'soich rakia hashamayim. Within the heavens of the sky. Within the heavens of the sky of the heavens. Umlubashois. And they are enclosed. Right? They are enrolled, b'soy kol harakiyim, li'olam, within all of the physical kiyim, skies, the Chazal say that there are seven of them, l'achyeisam, in order to sustain them and give them life. K'dechsiv, like it says in the Pasuk, u'dvar elokeinu yokum li'olam, u'dvar chachayim v'kayom lo'ad. And says, in other words, the words Yehi Hakim v'Sachamayim are actually standing and giving continued sustenance and existence to the natural objects which the words are referring to, namely the heavens. And goes on, the Balatanya says, and this is the pshat, he gets it from the Besht, Ki ilu hayu ha'oisiyas v'stalkus kerega chas v'sholom, these letters would vanish suddenly. Chas v'sholom, God forbid, the choizis l'mkoyim go back to where they came from, the Bekoyran, all the skies, the heavens, would actually be nothing. Mamish would literally be nothing. Ayin, no, nil. For you kolay hayu klal, and there would be no memory. It was as if they would never were. They would be as if before they were, before Kosh Boko said Yirakia. Mamish, literally. It goes on, the Balatanya says, and this is, I guess, a hemshach continuation of the ideas of the Besht. V'chein b'chol avruim sh'b'chol olamos. All of the creations, all the natural world, and all of the worlds. Spiritual, physical, terrestrial, celestial. Elyonim v'tachtonim, those which are above, those which are below. Afilu ha'aretz halazu ha'gashmis. Even this physical world, physical land. V'chinas doimim mamish, even thing inanimate matter. Ilu hayu mistalkus imena kreg chas v'shalom ha'oisiyas b'asom ha'morish shebhem nevoas ha'shamayim b'shesh me b'reish. If the words which continue to sustain them, give them existence, would leave, would go away, ha'isa chazeres la'ayin v'efes mamish. That everything, all these physical phenomena of the entire physical world, the spiritual world, the physical world too, would actually vanish into nothingness. Adol, no, kamoy l'fleshesh me b'reish is mamish, as right as before they were 6 days of creation. Okay, now, the Balatanya has invoked the Besht. Comes the Balatanya and says, what is the Besht doing? The Besht is saying pshat in the Ari. This is very, very important. In other words, the Besht emerges in the Tanya as the interpreter of the Ari. How does the Besht interpret the Ari? That was what Ari says. That which the Ari says, that even in inanimate matter, like rocks and dirt and water, there's a content of nefesh and chiyus ruchanius. There's a physical and spiritual soul. So what does this mean, this is the physical and spiritual soul? What does the Arimbai mean this? The Hainu means this is the interpretation of the Besh. How does the Besh understand the Yari, that inanimate matter, even inanimate matter, like stones and dirt and water, can have a physical and spiritual content, a spiritual content, ruchanius, a spiritual kind which sustains it. Dahainu bechinas islapshus oisias hadibu measar mamois hamachem ahava es doimem liyosh yesh me'ayin ve'efesh shaldesh yesh me'braises. In other words, braises, in other words, this comes from the letters, from measar mamois. The letters, the words of mamois, sustain every part, everything in the physical world that was created during the 6 days of creation. Now, it is true. Look, it says in the 6 days of creation, it says Maim, it says Afam. What on Evan? Doesn't say anywhere in the 6 days of creation. Shesh Me'Brayis doesn't say Evan anywhere. And those, where do you get Evan from the first two Pokim in Brayis? So here comes the Balatanya and says, V'af Shalai Huskar Shem Evan Basora Mamorah Shabbatera. And even though the word Evan, rock, is not mentioned in any of the Sama Morais, the ten utterances that appear in Maaseh Bereishis. Alfo Piche, nonetheless, Nimshach Chiyas LaEvan, the Chiyas comes to the Evan, Ayde Tzirufim, the Chilufi Oisius, through exchanges and permutations of letters, Hamas Galgalus, which come about through Beralish Sha'olim, the 231 gates, which is a program of permuting and inverting letters, Padan V'Acher, the two sides of it, face and back, Kemo Shekosu B'Seif Yetzira, as it says in Seif Yetzira, Ad Shemishtal Shom Yasar Ma'amores, until somehow in some Ma'amores there's a program which permutes and exchanges the letters using the program of the Rala She'orim, V'Nimshach Mehem Tziruf Shem Evan, and this produces the word Evan, v'chiyuso shel Evan. This is the chiyus, the life-giving force of the rock. In other words, since everything in the world has a name in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Holy Tongue, hein hein ha'oisiyas hadibor, these are the letters of speech, ha'mishtalshalos, which come about madrega madrega, from one level to another level, from the asar ma'amores shebatera, Aidei chilufim utmurais ha'oisiyas, through exchange and permutations of the letters, berala sha'orim, using the 231 gates, from the asar ma'amores, achimagiyas mislabjois, until they reach and they are enrobed, ba'oisei nivra, in that physical phenomenon, lachyesei, to give it life, etc. That's the Balatanya. Okay, now,
can you just explain the Rala Sha'arim?
The Rala Sha'arim is in Sefer Yetzira, and there it's a table which lays out the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, actually in pairs. You take 22 times 21, and then you divide it by half. You get 231, Rala Sha'arim. And basically, the table of Rala Sha'arim equates different types of permutations of letters. So one type of, you know, pairs of letters is symmetric with another pair of letters. And by doing that, it's like atba, something like that. By that, you could take a word, or even a pasuk, right? And by making what's called invariant permutations of the letters using the Rala Sha'arim, therefore you can arrive at another word.
You can switch any letter with any other letter?
No, there's a system.
Okay.
A system. In other words, basically every pair of letters has a symmetrical pair. By exchanging symmetrical pairs and permuting symmetrical pairs, you come out with called invariances of groups of letters, which means in one, like one group of letters is invariant another group of letters, and one word is invariant another group of words. That's the Rala Sha'arim. I don't go into detail, then we'll just create a we'll be able to create a goylem. But in any case, that's what the Rala Sha'arim. Rala Sha'arim, think of it as being a system, a pattern, a methodology, a program, which makes invariances of permutations of letters and allows us to get from one set of letters to another set of letters with the same luchnias. And by virtue of that, we can locate, you know, a word Lashon HaKodesh doesn't appear in the Sama Mai Bereishis within a special way in which it gives chiyus to that physical phenomenon. That's basically the Ra'al HaShorim. I don't go into detail then. Maybe on the side we'll make a goylem, but then
that appears in the Arizal.
It's not. No, it's in the Sefer Yetzirah,
which is earlier.
Okay, so what the Baal HaTanya seems to be saying is not, you know, I mean, it's very interesting, very nice, but we see already here that the Baal HaTanya has invoked a perush, an interpretation of the besht of the Ari. In other words, the concept here of oisiyos, which continue, which sustain the creation, is not, I mean, from the Baal HaTanya here, it doesn't seem to be explicit in the Ari. The Ari says there's a chiyus, ruchonis, a spiritual thing which sustains the entire physical world. But, I mean, what the Baal HaTanya doesn't, it's saying that this which sustains the physical world, the Besh comes to tell us that what sustains it are actually these letters of the object in Lashon HaKodesh, and this derives its Kedusha from the Ra'al HaShorim, which comes ultimately from the Asara Mamor. Okay? This is what he's claiming. Now, the fact is that the matter goes actually much deeper. And for this, we're going to turn to the Likutei Torah, the Baal HaTanya. It's in Parshas Bahar. Right? Parshas Bahar in Bamidbar. And then usually it's designated by, I think it's usually called Chelek Gimel. But it's Parshas Bahar. Okay. Daf Mim Gimel Amud Beis. And it's Bir HaDvorim Al Pi Esha Psoisai. It's in Bahar. Epsha Psoisai Tishmeru. It's right? Right? That Pasuk in Bahar. And we're going to look at Mem Gimel Amud Beis and Mem Gimel Amud Gimel. Likutei Torah in Bahar. Okay. Now, I want to give a little bit of a background. And we're going to see a little bit here how the Baal HaTanya is learning. Now, once again, the Tanya is a summary of basic ideas of the Baal HaTanya, but much of the details and the methodology and the reasoning is actually in Likutei Torah. Now, I want to go back and try to go back to the concept of the Tzimtzum of the Ari. The Ari and the Etz Chaim, as we all know, that one of the important novel ideas which we first see in the Ari is the concept of Tzimtzum. Actually, his Slapshutz being enclosed or encased, his Slapshutz is also a concept which is called one of the Chidushim, or the novel of the Ari. But one of the important Chidushim, or the important novel ideas you see in the Ri is the concept of Tzimtzum. The Ri explains the world was created through an act of contraction, divine contraction. There, we see that before the world was created, there was nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, creation begins with an act of contraction. The Ri, in fact, draws a circle, and we somehow are supposed to at least understand, I mean, that at least through the metaphor, the figure of the circle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow think of a circle that's, you know, basically all gray, or it could be all black. And then, in the contraction, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu contracts himself to the circumference of the circle. So the Ari says, this is what's called a tzimtzum. Now the circle becomes empty and is a black circumference, and that's called a tzimtzum. In other words, the aura of the Ein Sof, the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is now on the circumference of the circle. That's a tzimtzum. Says the Ri, the second stage of creation is what's called the Kaf. From this circumference, a line, which contains the infinite light, the aura of the Ein Sof, albeit now it's enclosed in a line, and this line points from the circumference, stands from the circumference, towards the middle of the circle, and the aura of the Ein Sof now re-enters into the circle, and we have all of the world, the spiritual world, the physical world, etc., the entire Shtauschel, the entire declension of physical, spiritual world, spiritual, physical world, which defines the Ilam HaKadosh. That's the Pes in the Ari. Now, the Ari however, doesn't tell us the circle of the Ari after the act of tzimtzum appears to be empty. The Ari doesn't tell us what's in the circle. Now, after the Ari, we find that there's a new terminology, a new term, which appears in the Rubalim who came after the Ari, namely the Ramchal. We're going to see it, actually, we see it in the Goy, we saw it in the Sama Moes, and actually in the circle of the Goy. And we're going to see it here in the Balatanya. And that's called the Rishimoy. Now, the Bala Tanya says the following thing. The Bala Tanya says,
"You're reading from where?"
I'm reading now from Daf Mem Gimel, Amud Beis, and Parshas Bahar. I guess Mem Gimel in Bamidbar.
In Vayikra.
It's in Bahar. Vayikra. Oh, Vayikra. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Parshas Bahar and Vayikra.
On the bottom of the left hand column.
Right. Bottom left hand column.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay, so he says, after there's a parenthesis, Koshim B'Shar Igulim V'Yeisha, V'Isa, okay? Oh, he says, Inei Apisa Yuva Ba'ad Ma'ashakosa Beitz Chayim. We'll understand a little bit what's written in the Yitz Chayim. V'Inyan HaTzimtzum, in the matter of Tzimtzum, Shehoya Bo'or Ein Sof. The Tzimtzum took place with the infinite light of the Or Ein Sof. V'Nisha Mokom Pone. And therefore, after there was a contraction, circumference, the Mokom, which means the air within the circle is desolate. It's open. It's void. The east of Moshe's chaim b'chilosim b'ago, the Moshe kosu mokum pani v'chala, who loved dafka. Right? Kinisha sham v'shil me'or. This is v'shil me'or. No, he wants to claim, avalagami ha'ein sam nikva chala. The Eitz Chaim Eino Mavua Inyan HaRishimo. The Inyan HaRishimo is not explained at all the Eitz Chaim. Right? In other words, in Hagod Eitz Chaim, it says Lav Davka, but the Eitz Chaim doesn't, it says Bokomponim, there's no mention of Rishimo. It doesn't explain what the Rishimo is. Now, where's Rishimo explained? So he says, Rak B'Sefer Emek HaMelech, B'Yoze, the Emek HaMelech explains what is Rishimo. Shehu bechinas oisias rala sha'olam panav v'ocha. And this Rishimoy is the bechina of the rala sha'olam, the 231 sha'olam, gates, panav v'ocha. Okay? So, he says, v'ayimu sha'atzintzim haya sh'lo yagilu ya'or ein tzov ha'idei ha'oisias. V'zeh sha'kozim betz chayim sha'or nesalai, peris te'ech sha'ak nesalai ke'enu beged ha'mokam. He says, how could he say the infinite light contracts? Hello, it's a shaman v'zeh oratz, and the imodach ha'shmach fills up everything. You can't say that something is void of a kodesh baruch. Now, in other words, what the Bala Tanya is telling us is that in the Eitz Chaim, it's not explained what's inside this circle at the contraction. It would only, for the Eitz Chaim itself, it would seem that there's nothing there. It's a God that says it's a Rishima, but what is this Rishima? That explains anything. So he quotes an Emek HaMelech. Emek HaMelech says that in this Rishima are Oisias. Now who's the Emek HaMelech? Emek is one of the famous Mephoshim of the Yetz Chayim. However, what's important for us to know is the Emek HaMelech, and this is what the Leshem says in the Sefer Hagdamas, right, in the Sefer Hagdamas, that in fact the Emek HaMelech was either a Talmud or was one of the one of those who held to the Shita of what's called the Maris Ruk. Now in Likute Mamorim Likute what?
He's written of Tali Hertz.
I think so, yeah. But now Likute Mamorim of Tzedek HaKoyin, and I have here page 214. He says, Kiyadua, Misoid HaMalbus, Shua Oisiyos. There's a Soid HaMalbus, Oid HaMalbus, who's not mentioned only at Tzchayim. And this is the Oisiyos, V'hayinu Shem Levusha Or. The Oisiyos, the Hebrew letters, are the Levush, for the Or of the Ein Sof. Etc. Okay, now he says, Says the tzaddik, we're not going to elaborate on this. Besoid Amalbush, me'achas shehu mikabolas hamal yisruk the talmidav. This is from the Kabbalah of the Mal Yisruk and his talmidav. V'harachu Chaim Vital lo hiskim imenu dover. Chaim Vital doesn't mention anything. Dover v'noida as horas harachu shelo lasim ayin amashkov talmidim zlo shalshem. Hashem Arizal. We know that the Rachel told people not to listen to any of the Talmidim other than the Arizal. This was a Shvuah, the Rachel, the Rashash, etc. Now, what we have here is an incredible thing. What is the Baal HaTanya telling me in Likutei Torah? What Baal HaTanya is saying is that the Ari explains in the in the Eitz Chaim the notion of Tzimtzum. But he doesn't explain at all what happens, or what does it mean by the void in the makom, in the circle, after Kodesh Baruch, the Ein Sof, contracts itself to the circumference. In other words, the makom panoi, the makom, which appears, right, quote-unquote, vacuous from the Ein Sof after the act of Tzimtzum. We know that it can't be totally vacuous. I mean, as the Baal HaTanya says, or the God says, because there has to be some type of a roshim, some type of an imprint. But what is this imprint? What is it? The Ari doesn't speak about it. He doesn't want to go into it. Now, the fact is, actually, the Ari doesn't even speak about it. It's a Haggah, recurs to the Shema, but this Haggah seems to be after that time of the Ari. The Ari himself doesn't speak at all about this notion of the Shema. But we see that the Mefoshim after the Arizal, right? And we're going to see a little bit of the Mefoshim too. They try to explain what this Rishimu is. It seems to be the first person after the Ari to have explained what the Rishimu was the Ma'ari Sruk. And the Ma'ari Sruk said that this Rishimu was actually letters, oisius, of the Lashon HaKodesh of the Hebrew alphabet, and its combinations and permutations of letters, which are the Rala She'orim, and this constituted the Rishimu. And actually, the Ma'ari Sruk denoted this Rishimu by the expression that it was called the Olam HaMalbush. In fact, actually, those Sforim that speak about the Ma'ari Sruk, if you look at the Hakdom the Leshem, and there's In the Sefer Hakdamos, the Sefer Hakadosh, Hakdamos Shasharim, this lesson explains the fact that the Ma'ari Sruk was megala a world not to be, that we don't find anywhere in any of the writings of Chaim Vital, and that this Olam HaMalbush is actually mentioned by other Mefarshim. He mentions the Emek HaMelech, and the Mirza Shem will see he mentions the Nefesh HaChayim, who speaks about it in Sha'al Dalet. And he actually mentions the Goyin. Of course, he doesn't mention the Baal HaTanya. However, the Baal HaTanya, it seems to be subscribing to this notion of Oisius as being the Rishimu that was left in the Mokum Ponu, in the space of the circle, after the Tzimtzum. And therefore, the Baal HaTanya attributes actually this to the Besht, the Baal Shem Tov. He doesn't mention the Ma'ari Sruk, he mentions the Baal Shem Tov. He actually mentions the Emek HaMelech, so she must be very about, right? And that the Chiddush of the Besht was to adopt the philosophy, the Kabbalah of the Ma'ari Sruk, which, gave interpretation and meaning and understanding of what this Rishima was after the act of Tzimtzum, before we have the emergence of the Kaf. Okay? Now, it's important to understand, and I want to really elaborate on this, is that, first of all, what is the significance of the Ma'ari Sruk? I mean, it was why significant to think, to know that the Rishimai, that means the first thing that appears after the Tzimtzum, is letters, is Oisius. What are the What could it be other than Oisiyai? So, for example, you should know that in the, for example, the Ramchal, in the Das Tevunos, the Ramchal also speaks about Rishimoy, and in the Klolim, the Ramchal speaks about Rishimoy, and he says that the Rishimoy is actually the assertus of Anhaga. He speaks about Anhaga with respect to the Rishimoy. It's a type of Anhaga. Now, which means, it's very, very interesting, how did the Ramchal understand the philosophy of the Ari? We all know, I mean, certainly from the Das Tevunos, from the Chachmas and Chachma, that the Ramchal understood that the Kabbalah of the Ari was a mashal, the Nimshal being Kodesh Baruch's Hanhaga of world history. In other words, the Ari's, you know, the entire Ari, Stalshus, the Ari, and all the Olamas were an expression, a revelation of how Kodesh Baruch Hu is manhig Klal Yisrael, the entire world, from the Bris HaOlam until the Messianic days, you may speak Shechin, and afterwards that too. So in other words, by calling the Rishimo the Hanhaga, what the Ramchal is really saying is that the essence of the philosophy, the Nimshal of the Ari, is designated by this Rishimo. Meaning that if we apply that over here to the Balatanya, we get the same concept. That if you're really saying, what is the Ari speaking about? What is all these things speaking about? What it's really speaking about is that the ontology, the reality of the world, the strings, the Higgs particles, beyond the Higgs particles of the world, what is it? It's the Oseus of Lashon HaKodesh. It's the Oseus HaKodeshus of the Torah, which originates in the Asar Mamorim, the Oseus of letters and tevos, the Asar Mamorim, which Hashem created the world, and their permutations in accordance with the laws of the Rala Sheorim. That, in fact, is the fundamental particles of reality.
That's what we're looking for in the Large Hadron Collider.
Right. In other words, after we get to the Higgs particles, then I guess if we made an infinite collider,
we get
to the Oseus, right. And then we know we're finished. and that's the Baal HaTanya. Now, what's interesting is that the Nefesh HaChayim also ascribes to this notion of the Olam HaMalkus. In Paragdal Nefesh HaChayim,
in Shardalet,
the Nefesh HaChayim speaks about the Makor, the source of the Torah, and the Torah says the Nefesh HaChayim lies before all of the Olamas. Now, what could possibly be before all the Olamas? It would have to be the Rishimah, because after the Rishimah, it's only Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, the Torah is before all of the Olamas, and he says it's in the Soid Olam HaMalbush of the Isis of the Torah, in the Soid Olam HaMalbush, as the Nefesh HaChayim says. Which means we have what is going to seem to many people an incremental paradox. The two great antagonists in modern Jewish philosophy, the Misnagdim, the Chassidim, the Baal HaTanya, the Nefesh HaChayim, both adopted the philosophy, the Kabbalah, the interpretation of the Ari due to the Baal Yisroch, which declared that in fact the most basic ontological substance, the Rishimu, which is the reality which emerges after the symptom of the Ein Sof, to be the Oseus, the letters of the Torah, which originate in the Asar Mamorim and Ma'aseh Bereishis.
The concept of Olam HaMalbush is not found in Reb Chaim Vital anymore.
Not at all. It's all in the Maal Yisroch. Ad kedei kach, that in fact, actually, especially the Sfadi in the Kubbalim say that, you know, it's, I don't think they're called Kfira, they would say it's also even to mention it, but the Rav Chaim Vital rejected, like I said before, and therefore we shouldn't even make use of it. But in fact, actually, the Lashem, like I said before, at the end of the Sefer HaKadosh, has a whole kuntres on the Kubbalim Maal Yisroch, and there he actually brings, and first and foremost, at the Maal Yisroch, the first main of Maal Yisroch is in fact actually the Emek HaMelech. By the way, also too, the Ramah Mipano, the Talmud about it, so it also appears that too. Now, and we're going to speak about this because it's very, now, of course, we have to, you know, The interesting question to raise is what is the significance? In other words, the fact that the there's actually too an important point to make is that, in other words, the question that has to be raised is that this Rishimoy is the essence of what the Kabbalah is. In other words, you're asking, what is the Ari speaking about? The question, what the Ari is speaking about, actually comes out to be, what is the Rishimoy? So, for example, the Ramchal was in the opinion that Ari is speaking about Hanukkah. What's the Rishimoy? The Rishimoy is the most basic level of Hanukkah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Yisrael of the Hanukkah. That's what he says in the Klal. So, if you would ask the Bala Tanya, what is the Ari speaking about? I don't say he calls it a Moshe or Nimshal. Doesn't say it at all. But what's the Ari speaking about? What is the basic, configuration of reality? It's the Isis of the Torah. Isis of my separations. Now, the fact is, though, we have something very interesting. Why? Because the Bala Tanya says that not only do we have in this Rishimoy the Isis of my separations, but through the Rala Sha'orim, through the permutations, right, which are dictated by the Rala Sha'orim, which appears in Sefer Yetzirah, Panum V'Achar, we can get to any word in Lashon HaKodesh who designates any natural object, and those letters of the word of that natural object are mislabish, are enclosed in that natural object, and give it sustenance. The amazing thing is, and this is what I want to focus on, is that the Goyin, in a famous letter in which he puts a cherem on the Hasidim, he calls them minim. It appears in Volensky's book on page 187. It's a miktav from Yud Aleph Tishrei Tavkuf Nun Zayin. It's entitled Tshuvas Eliyahu Kanoi Shekona Kinas Hashem Tzavakos. And there, right, he speaks about the Chasidim who were begalim panim b'teira shelo kalacha, right? And he goes on and says, Dor ma romo enov umilin letzad Allah yimalalu, page 188, Eila lekech Yisrael, kol eitz v'chol evin, umagal panim b'teira shelo kalacha b'posok, b'or kivar Hashem im koimoi, uv'posok, v'atam b'chaya es kulam. Now, the fact is, what does he mean to say? Kol eitz v'chol evin. What's kol eitz v'chol evin? So, the fact is that where is Evan mentioned? He's calling Evan. Where the Chassidim speak about Evan? So I see in the footnote here, I mean, it's clear that the footnote is, I mean, I don't know if this is from Teitelbaum or from Dubnov, but the footnote is in the Bala Tanya, who says in Shah Yichud V'Amona, Shegam V'Doyme, Mamish Kwa Vodim Eifu V'Mayim, Yish Bechinas Nefech Yis V'Chodiyos. Okay. There's also a tzava of the Rivash. Rivash is not the Rivash of the Tshuva. Rivash is Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. That says Zek Klal Godol. B'chol ma yish ba'olim yish nitzoytzim ha-kadoshim ein devar reik mi nitzoytzim. There's nothing that doesn't have nitzoytzim. Afilu eitzim va'avonim. Afilu b'chol ha-maisim she'odim oysa afilu avera. Is nitzoytzim ha-shvira. But in other words, when the Goyin says, Kol Eitz V'Chol Evin, he's referring to this Savar. It's called the Savar of the Baal Shem Tov. This is the Besht. And in fact, this is part. This is the Besht that the Bala Tanya is calling. The Bala Tanya, in fact, is saying is that Shigam B'Doyim Mamish Kamo Oven V'Ofen B'Ayim Yesh B'Chilis Nefesh V'Chiyas V'Chaniyas. And these are the Isis. So in other words, what was the Bala Tanya saying? The God understood the Bala Tanya, and before that the Besht, What he's saying is very clearly is the take. Now, of course, according to Leshem, the Goyen also ascribed to the Olam HaMalbush. So, in other words, what the Bala Tanya did was he took the Gala Sha'olim and he said that the letters from the Gala Sha'olim, the Oisius, the letters of the words of Gala Sha'olim, which denote physical objects, even rocks and dirt, are mislavish within these physical objects to give them sustenance. And on that, the Goyen said that he was a min. Elokecha Yisrael, Megala Ponem Batera, Shalai Kalacha Laposa, Megala Ponem Batera, like it says, Vatama Chayes Kulam. The fact is that in Lekutei Torah, the Bala Tanya says, of course, there has to be Rishima. The Shima, it can't be an empty circle after the Tzimtzum. Because doesn't it say, in the Pasuk, it says clearly in the Pasuk, right? Haloi es Hashemayim es Oretz ani Molei. So, we see clearly that the attack of the Goyen on the Bala Tanya focused on this passage, and the paradox is that the Bala Tanya is relying upon the Kabbalah of the Bar Yisroel, which the God himself ascribed to, let alone most people ascribe to, as well as the Nefesh HaChayim. Now, we have here a very basic question which I want to raise. We're going to meet the same with the next year. We're actually going to see the Goyen, we're going to see the Nefesh HaChayim and how they used about Bar Yisroel. And clearly, there must have been differences between the way the Nefesh HaChayim is the Bar Yisroel and the Bala Tanya of the Bar Yisroel, but both of them are coming from the Bar Yisroel. What was the message of the Bar Yisroel? Well, as we mentioned, that it was the Ramchal, of course, he understood that the Rishim was an Hagga. Okay, the entire philosophy. What philosophy emerges from the Ari as it's interpreted by Madri Yisroel? Bar Yisroel, who denotes the Mokom Ponoi, the space within the circle, right, within the Tzimtzum, after the act of Tzimtzum, as the Oisiyos, what emerges from this? So, and the Nefesh HaChayim obviously also ascribed to this philosophy too. So what is this basic philosophy? What was the idea of the Madri Yisroel to describe the Olam HaMalbush as basically the Oisius of the Torah and Gala Sha'olim? I want to claim over here that we have here is what is the ultimate reality? What is the ultimate reality of the world? The Nefesh HaChayim says in Shal Dalet that the Oisius of the Olam HaMalbush is really the Torah. That's the Torah that precedes the world. That's the Torah Kedum, the Torah that precedes the world. So in other words, if he is Nefesh HaChayim, what is the ultimate reality of the world? He'll say the Torah. Istaka b'raisa ba'alma. Now the Bala Tanya doesn't say the Oisius and then the Torah. The Oisius, in other words, the ultimate Rishimu is also, words and letters. It doesn't say necessarily the Torah. I mean, they're mishtalshel from the Asom HaMoros. But they're not, necessarily words that appear in the first two Pukim of Bereishis. But what you have to say is that the chiddush, the novel idea is that now what's being asserted is that the reality of the world is not what you would call a commensurable physical reality, but that the reality of the world is rooted in the scripture and the letters of the Torah. And that is what the Bala Tanya and Nefesh HaChayim both had in common. Namely, what Chassidus and the reaction to Chassidus, the Nefesh HaChayim were doing was, they were cutting the commensurability of spirituality with the physical world and locating the underpinning ontology of reality within the letters of the Torah within Scripture. Now, What's interesting is, in the Yesod Klom of the Gaon, we see the Gaon didn't do that. If you remember, the Gaon speaking about Rishimo, we saw in the Yesod Klom of the Gaon said there were two Rishimos. There's Rishimo from the Psukim of the Torah, and there's Rishimo from creation. The Gaon spoke about that there's Rishimo of creation, which corresponds, I guess, towards understanding creation from a scientific point of view. In other words, the Gaon understood that there's two realities of the world. There's a spiritual reality of the world, which is the reality of the Torah, and there's a physical reality of the world, which one discovers, I mean, according to the Gaon, the way we understood the Gaon in the Yesod Klolim, discovers through doing science, and by that we discover God's creation. Ultimately, the two Rishimos are one and the same. But in other words, the Rishimoi, right, from us, is in fact actually a dichotomy, we call it an ontology in ethics, between, you know, learning Torah and studying the physical world. What the Baal HaTanya and Nefesh HaChaim did was they did away with the scientific Rishimo, they did away with the objective Rishimo, and adopted the Kabbalah of the Mari Sruk exclusively, that the Rishimo constitutes exclusively letters that come from the Torah, and therefore there is in fact no longer a basis for an abstract, independent, objective scientific reality, but everything really in fact originates in the Torah, in scripture itself. That's the reality of the world. And that's what the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim had in common. So, the question is going to be, but what did they argue? They obviously, I mean, there's obviously an argument. We see there's a clear machlekes dispute. The Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Gimel goes at length to say that the, you know, those people who desire to be close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu misunderstood the Tzimtzum. We know that they learn Sivkal Amim, Malak Amim in opposite ways. In other words, there clearly were two different interpretations of the Olam HaMalbush, of the Mari Sruk, and this constituted the bifurcation, the difference in opinion between the Nefesh HaChaim and the Baal HaTanya. So, Emet Hashem, I think we'll conclude now in this Shia, and next week we'll actually go in detail and try to understand the basic fundamental dispute between Rav Chaim Voloshin and the Baal HaTanya. Until then, from Uncle's Place in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, be well.